You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
All right, episode number 71,
72.
Last week was 71, all the right. One I was not here for.
That's right. Well, welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
Tonight also, I'm Ian, also with Ryan the Beard and Travis the Virus.
What's up, Metal Shop?
Welcome back, dude.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's been a long, cool week. The rain's back. Today it was pissing.
Torturous, dude.
Pissing. I was saying
so much rain
on the podcast last week about how the undercarriage of my car got ripped off, and I didn't get it fixed this week, so my car is f***ed.
Uh-oh.
I hope it still runs tonight.
Your car's gonna be flooded, man.
On my way home.
Are you parked under a cover?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But man, just driving through that was bonkers. So what have you guys been up to this week?
Tell me stories. What have you been up to, Ryan?
Oh man, it's been a pretty wild week for me. I do some occasional freelance work for it's kind of a freelancer collective in town called Bootstrapper Studios.
Okay.
And the main guy just finds film and audio gigs and like bigger production things, and basically just has this huge list of different people that have different skills and do different things, and he coordinates everybody and just kind of I was down doing boom op work for at a PIX 2015 for a couple of commercials, one for Sony, one for Fujifilm, one for Olympus, and another one for DXO, which is actually a really cool new product. It's this little camera that just clips into the side of your iPhone, and you can get massive amounts of zoom and really, really high quality pictures. It's a really cool
technology.
Deal.
It's like a new selfie stick. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Someone's got to invent the new selfie stick, man.
No one needs to invent another selfie stick.
You know, there was actually a woman down there that had four selfie sticks in her belt with a different camera on each one.
Holy See, that's different because you're doing like, you're walking around doing like a panoramic view of the world.
Kinda. Oh, no. She was using those things for like interviews and stuff, just like holding out the selfie stick. And
right on.
Like,
that would actually be kind of sweet.
Let me turn around and interview four of you at once.
It was interesting, you know? There was a guy there that I walked in and he was bald on the top of the head with afro on the sides with dreadlocks coming out of the bottom of that. So he looked like a man of war jellyfish.
Unique.
And then as I was wondering,
that guy was rocking it.
As I was walking around, it's like, what? I wonder what booth this guy's working at. And
Kevin, that
I
could
saw
be you.
I saw him walk into this booth, and it just said playing with light. And it was just all these big curtains, so I kind of poked my head in, and he was, like, playing with a glow stick. It's like, oh, he's a light painting guy.
He's playing with
That's
light.
That's funny. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was dope. It was a cool little booth.
Sounds like a crust clown. Like, clown afro, Krusty the Clown kind of style with the side hair.
Did he just walk up to you and say, dreads. Follow me?
No, he was just walking around.
And you're like, I gotta follow this guy.
Well, he had the booth pass on it, so I knew he was working for somebody there.
So you knew he was semi-legit.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, who hired this guy?
Someone really impressed by his unique skullet.
Yeah. He's got a real hardcore skullet. That's badass.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a really good time. So I had 2 days of that. Started helping out a buddy of mine with another audio project that he's got going on, and then I went for a hike at Carkeek Park.
Nice, dude.
Yep. Hike it.
Right on, man. I've been staying busy because I work. I work for a company that makes and sells hammer dulcimers and harps. And all week long, I was preparing the craziest order. They've been around for since the 70s or maybe even the 60s. But they got their biggest order all in one to Japan. So I've been preparing 35. I think it was 36 harps to send to Japan.
Damn.
And so it was crazy, man. And they're gonna be buying 60. Hammer dulcimers.
How much space does 35 harps take up?
Harps are not small,
man. I was making boxes and we double pack these things. So
they're like packed on. Pack.
Oh yeah. So I was making boxes all week. So if you ever need something boxed, I'm your man, dude. I can do it efficiently with using as little tape as possible and make it look very professional. But yeah, man, I was sweating that out. But
cool.
it was good, man. It's nice to have a job where I'm on my feet. I'm actually working. And I'm not stuck in a fucking office
and
setting.
And you can see the progress of what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And it keeps me super active. So it's like I can, you know.
It's exercise.
I'm getting exercise. So I can even just like, you know, not even just go to the gym. I can even cancel my gym gym membership.
What kind of phone do you use?
Like some kind of like Samsung.
Like there's an
thing.
App you can download on your phone that like picks up the amount of steps that you take and the amount of flights of stairs you crawl up and
like
down.
Like a Fitbit
and,
kind of thing?
Yeah.
It's a pedometer.
It tracks it for you, yeah. You should do that and see how many miles you're just walking around in circles every day.
I'm down.
Check it out.
All right.
That might kind of bum you out if you're in the wrong mindset. I've been walking around.
It's just a reason for you to get up and be more active.
That's
true. I like that, though.
I walked 90 feet
all
day.
Your boss.
Yeah, I sat
your
on
boss
my couch.
Rules, by the way, man.
My boss?
Your boss is so cool.
They're
Ryan
hippies,
Castle?
Man. No, no, my boss at my other job.
Oh, okay,
Ryan's cool, but my boss at my other job, they're hippies, man. They're chill, though. Very, very cool people.
Hippies, man.
Yeah. Travis, how was your week, man?
My week's been pretty busy. We've as I mentioned last podcast, I'm a landlord.
Yes, you are my landlord.
I am
full
your
disclosure.
Landlord, yes.
Absolutely.
And we had a recent vacancy, so I've been working on that, cleaning up that place, and this particular tenant was not neat. So
dirty motherfuckers.
Yes. So that's gonna take a lot of work. It looked like a war zone up there. But
is that still is that the gnarliest thing you've encountered there so far?
So far there, yeah, I'd say so.
What was it? It was just like garbage.
Just like everything in the apartment either had to be cleaned, fixed, or replaced. like everything you can, like they'd taken the light bulbs. There was like tape on part of the stove.
They're like taking the wire coppering out of the walls.
Like, what is that noise? Like, how does a running toilet make that kind of noise? Like, what are these razors? Why are you just have razors just like lying around? There was just a bag of rotting black bananas on the balcony.
Hey, you know, just in case you wanted these, we left them for you.
But the thing is,
they could do to piss you off.
They put them in a biodegradable plastic bag as if we could take this to the compost bin.
We're going to leave it
for you. Yeah. It's like, gee, thanks.
I'm always curious about how other people live. Sometimes it blows my mind a little bit.
I know. How could you live like this? I'm not the neatest guy, but go to college.
Did you do something really gnarly to piss these guys off?
Like, no.
Did they?
Or did somebody?
No. They were the kind of people that like, well, why do we have to follow the rules? Oh, why do I have to pay a fee to have this fixed if it wasn't your fault? Why can't I park here? Why can't I have people I know park
I
in the manager
so.
Section and all that stuff? Just the kind. There's certain.
It's just like your record
store. There are certain
job.
People. You know, there's certain people. They just like to push it just to see how far you can go.
I am that guy. So
you're that guy.
I am.
But you own your home now, so
we call it habitual line stepping.
I bet you clean your living room from time to time.
Yeah, I do. I keep my carpets clean. I keep the bathroom clean. Mm. I live there. That's the thing that always blows my mind. Like, no one else lives there but you. Do you want to live in a pile of garbage?
Exactly.
If so, mission accomplished. Good job.
One thing that blows my mind is, like, you know, there's apartments where they give you the option of smoking cigarettes in your apartment. I haven't smoked cigarettes for 5 days now, but even if I was smoking cigarettes, and, you know, I can't imagine wanting to fucking live in smoke. Like smoking in your apartment
is
nasty.
I grew up
the occasional cigarette here and there is fine, but smoking all the time, your walls get yellow, it smells like just go outside. You have a balcony.
One of my best friends in my neighborhood that I grew up with lived with his mom and his grandparents, but it was like a split house.
Yeah.
So that half of it was like they didn't smoke in the house that they lived in, but the other half, like, his grandparents would sit in their kitchen and while they were cooking and playing cards,
just chain smoking
cigarettes with the windows closed.
Jeez.
So you would walk in there and it would literally be hot.
Just makes you throw up.
Yeah. Ugh. And I was just like,
it's like being in Vegas.
Damn. This is crazy. Like, I would stand in there for a couple minutes and just be like, start feeling all woozy.
Yeah.
Is this what this is
I
like?
Just smoke a pack? What the fuck? Chain smoking, man. What about you, man? How was your week?
Good. I went to go see Scorpions last night.
Yeah, dude.
And it was fucking awesome.
I'm cool. So bummed out. I
is that
slept
like their
on that
50th
show.
Anniversary?
It's the 50th anniversary of the Scorpions.
That's so wild.
It was at Showare Center, so if you've ever been there, you know it's like a smaller key arena.
Yeah.
Like, it's where they have the Thunderbirds games and whatnot. And I felt like it took a couple of songs for them to kind of like get warmed up and get the crowd warmed up.
Okay.
But they're like, those dudes are in their late 60s, some of them their early 70s, and they're all still ripped. And they're all, like, jumping around still. Like, the drummer's still standing up, like, smashing all the cymbals. And, like,
cool.
It was awesome. So I hope they come back because it looks like they've totally still got it in them.
How many haggard, milfy rock
dude.
Babes?
It was everywhere. Like, half of the concert, there was this fat kid behind me with the longest mullet. And he was, like, headbanging so hard that, like, the tip of his rat tail kept smacking me. In the back of the neck. And I was just like, oh, dude, get the mullet out of here.
You got rat smacked.
And then I turned around and both of his parents had mullets too. And I was just like, all right, this is like some Joe Dirt That's a Scorpion.
Dude, that show in
Kent. It was
Kent,
awesome.
Hell yeah.
It was definitely
but
awesome.
You missed Queensryche, right?
I missed Queensryche by a couple of minutes. Like, I showed up at 8:30. The show started at 8. And I was there for maybe 10 minutes until... Like, the banner that they had was a huge, like, crown, like a queen's crown.
Okay,
so I was like, oh,
Queensryche
is about to go on.
Nope.
And then the thing drops, and it goes, Scorpions! And I was like, oh.
You were not prompt.
What was that all about? But it was awesome anyway, so.
Did they play Blackout?
They did.
Awesome.
It was dope. And we're going to play that tonight at Metal Shop.
Cool.
And today I went to not a family reunion, it was my grandfather's 85th birthday today.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
That's pretty gnar.
What up, Gramps?
Yeah, he had like quadruple bypass surgery like 15, 20 years ago, and he's still raging.
He's still kicking.
And that's impressive.
Like, I don't see my family very often. I have a huge family. Like, it's my mom's side of the family, and I have 10 aunts and uncles.
Wow.
And they all have kids, and now they all have kids. So in that house was probably 70 people. Tops, you know, running around.
Big house?
When I haven't seen them, yeah, well, decent size is my aunt's house. And I go in there and I haven't seen them for a few years. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit that over the last 3 or 4 years, I've probably put on like 30, 40 pounds. So I've changed and I don't see them very often. So the first fucking thing that I hear when I walk in, everyone's just like, yo, man, it looks like you gained a little weight. And I'm just like, oh, this is why I don't come fucking talk to you guys.
Jesus.
But, I mean, you know the story of like,
my dad said that to my uncle one time. He's like, wow.
Oh, man. Cool.
You look kind of big.
And I'm like, oh, you look really old. what do you want me to say? Like,
you got balder.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been hitting the gym. You're like, what do you want? You want to go out back and wrestle? Like,
yeah.
What the f*** do you want me to say?
That's funny.
And then you have to go around to like 30, 40 people and do the, so what have you been up to conversation. So, yeah, family time. It's awesome. I love my family, don't get me wrong, but it's just cool to see my grandfather hit his 85th birthday. I was like, what's your goal? What's on your list of goals? He goes, make it to 90.
Nice.
Like, that's it? And he's like, yeah. Cool.
You know,
go for it, Gramps.
I remember seeing a Henry Rollins motivational speech a while back where he's talking about, he's like, you know, if you're, you know, under a certain age, just give that's all you got to do. Just give a shit about things. If you're old, though, you know, and all you want to do, and I'm like, hey, what do you get fired up about? What do you want? And she's like, I just want to solids today. It's just like, all right.
I just want to keep my teeth.
More power to you.
I just don't want my teeth to fall out.
Like, I'm just glad I woke up.
So earlier today, I actually went to my friend's wedding, Steelman and Kathy.
Oh, yeah, congrats.
They've been dating since, I think, junior or senior year of high school, and
very
I was
cool.
There the first time that they went on a, or that he asked her out.
Oh.
He actually went up on stage at a concert at Kenwood High School, and he flipped his guitar around and said, Kathy, will you go to prom with me? So
nice.
I saw their relationship, and it's been really cool. They had a wedding in Auburn. Steelman actually listens to Metal Shop and the podcast, so
what
I
up,
just
dude?
Wanted to say, Steelman, congratulations. She's your dream woman, and now you are together forever, for the better or worse.
I feel like I got weed from Steelman vicariously through people.
I'm
that
sure
I
you did. And I think
like,
that you played with his band at Kent Ridge, probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Ossifer.
Yeah,
with
totally.
Tim Cady,
yeah.
Yep.
I went to school with that motherfucker.
Good times.
Cool. Well, let's do some news. Right. So this in on Metal Shop News. First off this week, Ryan's buddy has created a new phone app called Chubbin.
What?
currently working on.
Currently working.
Is that like Grindr?
No, it's
Chubbin.
Well, the concept is you install it and it puts a little button on the screen of your phone. And whenever you're chubbin, you hit the button and it puts a little boner logo on the map.
Like on like a Google map?
Yeah. Oh, God. So it locates all the boners in the world.
Yeah, so if you see a whole bunch of, you know, little
boners.
Boner marks on the map.
You know there's hot chicks around.
Yeah, you know there's something you should probably
wow.
be going to check
there's
out.
There's something in the water.
And so after a while, he's planning on creating the sister app, Drippin'.
Oh,
and,
that's a terrible idea.
And it'll be, you can hit the button on whether or not you want to see where the other app are. It won't show who these people are, but you can know. It's like,
there's some sexual activity going on here.
Yeah, there's lots of tripping going on down here, and I'm chubbing, so maybe I should get over
this. Oh my god, this is either the worst or best idea ever.
Do you have to turn it off when your goes down to normal size?
Well, that's what you're supposed to be if you're ever unfortunate enough to go flaccid.
No, permanent chubbing!
You hit the button.
You do some Viagra, you just have to hit it like a bunch of times.
You're like, I need to go. I've been
7 hour erections over.
Maybe a
weird question.
I need to go to the ER.
It changes the color of the little marker if you've taken a boner pill.
Oh,
now,
no.
I'm
now,
getting carpal tunnel in my thumb.
I do not have ED, erectile dysfunction, but I have taken Viagra.
Oh, really?
Just to see what would happen.
Seriously?
Yeah, I've taken it.
What? I've literally never
it
talked to
awesome.
Somebody about this.
It was awesome.
Somebody that I know.
Whoa.
I don't know if you want to even mention what you're even about to say.
Okay.
Just continue on with your story.
Well, I got some Viagra. I acquired some Viagra on the cheap, a pill.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting evening.
You can find it easily on the internet.
The girl was completely satisfied in every way, and I
did she know?
Was as fuck by the end of the night.
Oh, God.
It was like...
did it just not go away?
Yeah.
See,
I was punching it. No, I'm just playing. No.
Like slamming it in the door.
My was... I mean, you know, it went down a tiny bit, like, after I...
Oh, my God.
But, like...
Ryan,
then,
you need
then,
to
like,
censor all of that.
Then, like, a minute later, it would go right back up.
All
right,
so...
Like, I was ready to go again.
It just sounds like too much.
I talked to a female friend of mine about this, and the way she put it is, because I was thinking about doing it as like a surprise to the lady friend, you know? And
surprise.
My other friend said, you know, you should tell her before you do that, because if you don't, that's really effing creepy and like messed up. Because, you know, she's thinking she's getting into like a normal night of,
be like, yeah,
you know, what you're doing.
Our first round of sex maybe going to last 20, 30 minutes, not 20, 30 hours.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, you know, which I think is a very valid point. You should probably, like, hey, heads up, about to do this for like 7 hours straight, so get ready to go.
We got round one, we got round two, we got round Rocky four, we got the Russian round, we got the Apollo Creed round.
It was an interesting evening. And I'm not trying to brag or anything because I had to use it.
Yeah.
No, it's I didn't have to use it. And hopefully, you know.
See, here's the thing, though.
We'll
is
never
that,
have to.
The majority of people that use those kind of things use it for fun and not because they have to.
Really?
That's why their sales are so astronomically high, is that it's a recreational, fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Not everybody that uses that needs it. It's just kind of like, hey, check this out. I could hang my bathrobe off of this.
I think it would be funny to, like, if you were trying to prank someone.
Oh, my God.
Just, like, put it in someone's vitamin tablet or something.
No. Because
then they'll go to work and
we've
like,
talked about that before.
And then they'll have to hit the button.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's literally, okay, so let's take it to the worst possible scenario of that. If your erection lasts for more than 4 hours, like they say in the commercial...
Call everybody!
No, you need to go directly to the emergency room because otherwise it will rot off of your body.
Rot.
Your dick will fall off because the blood that's in it will rot and die. So what happens, and this is why it's not funny, is if you get an erection lasting more than 4 hours, you have to go to the ER, they have to take a big fat fucking needle, stick it in your dick, and
stop.
Extract all of the blood out just in order for your dick to work in the future.
This just got so not fun.
Just saying, man.
Ugh.
Just warning you against
Ian
the perils.
With the realness.
Recreational dick toys.
There's some good song lyrics in there somewhere.
you gotta.
I'm in a band. We're called the Recreational Dick Toys.
You got a new radio handle, Buzzkill Ian.
Come on, man. We were just talking about getting hard dicks over here, and you're talking about draining all the blood out of our dicks with fucking crazy needles.
I thought this was Metal Shop's backstage pass, man.
Needle.
It's like brutal poetry early.
Oh, man. I don't want a needle anywhere.
I hope someone just threw up.
You know what's a good way to wake up in the morning? Getting a catheter pulled out of your...
Oh!
Wake up.
Jesus, this is Chalk 101 with Metal Shop.
We should just delete the last 30 seconds. All right, carrying on. speaking of metal news...
Speaking of non... things.
Well, nope. It looks like Metalocalypse is coming back and, well, at least trying to. They've just launched a campaign to raise some, are they raising money or are they just...
They're raising awareness for the Metalocalypse, I don't know, maybe the final season?
Here's the thing that puts me off about this news story is last week we were like, oh my God, there's this countdown going on this website.
What is it? What is it? What the f*** is it?
Like, I thought the countdown was going to go down and last Thursday it ended. And as it ended, they were like,
"Now it's a
sign
petition.
The petition.
Countdown to letdown."
Like, I thought they were going to be like, countdown to, we're back, bitch. Like, that's what everybody thought. Or like, hey, blah, blah, blah. At least they are announcing that they are attempting to move forward with the final version of Metalocalypse. Mm-hmm. They haven't said if it's going to be a season or a movie. But if you want to tweet at Hulu, at Adult Swim, with the hashtag Metalocalypse Now, you can... join the voting, I suppose.
Yeah, there's several
ways. Let them know
ways.
You want to see it.
So you can tweet at Hulu and Adult Swim with the hashtag Metalocalypse Now, like Ian said. You can sign the petition at the official website.
We should all do that, like, right now.
Or you can mail some guitar picks. Get this. Mail some guitar picks that they have lying around to Attention, Head of Content, 2500 Broadway, Santa Monica, California, 90404.
Travis, you're going to do that, right?
Oh, yeah. I got a ton of picks that I never use, and I'm just going to put them in an envelope. And I got a ton of stamps I never use, so it just seems like a no-brainer.
Here's a Ziploc bag full of picks.
Now bring us f***ing Metalocalypse.
That, I wonder, that's like, what my note will say, yeah.
Have the next picks. One's going to have Anthrax. Picks.
Why Anthrax?
I mean, I'm not a terrorist. I swear.
I got the picks at the Anthrax tour.
So, on a bit of a bummer note, it looks like a Satyricon vocalist, Sater, revealed that he has brain tumor.
That's awful.
And before I keep going with this, look at this picture that they use. They have him holding up a skull.
Oh, like, man.
That's got a brain tumor.
That's kind of inappropriate.
That's kind of messed up. That's not okay.
That's a strange kind of image to put on their Metal Underground.
Yeah.
Here's what he said. He said, I'm going home. I got extremely sick 8 days ago and was rushed to the hospital. Scans have shown that there's a blind passenger in my head. Most likely it's benign. I can live with it as long as it does not grow bigger. Removing it is extremely complicated.
Wow.
Because it's in your brain.
Yeah.
And should only be done if it grows into a size where it's a matter of life and death. We all get our set of cards, and this happened to be one of mine. There are so many people who have to deal with much worse things than I do. So I do not feel sorry for myself.
That's actually a super positive way to look at it. And I wouldn't doubt that the dude from Satyricon would say something like that. He always seemed like a pretty down-to-earth guy. And it's cool that he's not like, oh, woe is me about it. But at the same time, let's keep him in our thoughts and our anti-prayers.
And hopefully we'll get some great black metal out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh? Yeah.
So Aborted, awesome, awesome band. Super brutal. I love seeing that band live because they're not only are they brutal, but they're hilarious live.
The guy's stage banter is 100% on point.
Didn't he call the audience silly vaginas last?
What's up, you fucking pussies? What? We are aborted. Move this fucking pit.
Get rid of this this hole in the pit. Why is everyone standing around in this? I was like, whoa. Aborted and their guitarist Danny Tunker have parted ways. He left the band.
Who's up next,
he
Ryan?
He was in there for 3 amazing years. He decided to step back and pursue a new path in life.
Those guys seem like they got pretty crazy personalities.
Yeah.
They're definitely
strange.
That's
why their metal is awesome.
And weird and funny and brutal. So, Aborted, hopefully they find a new sweet guitarist. I'm sure they won't have any problems finding, you know, a sweet guitarist. Travis, why don't you try out?
Speaking of weird, strange things, Lindman from Rammstein, their odd singer, recently started up his own project. And normally this wouldn't be something that I'd mention because the album really isn't all that great. But this music video is one of the most disturbing things I've seen in a while. It's basically him doing a Planet of the Apes style thing, like at the beginning of the movie.
Dude, everybody in here is naked.
Where they're like hunting the guys with the nets. He's doing that with naked women dressed up in weird fur suits. And then he catches them and he forces them to work out. And apparently that powers their instruments as they're practicing.
It's a very weird video. As I'm watching this, this is like Baywatch without the swimsuit tops.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is what it looks like.
Yeah,
without the sound.
We'll skip like halfway through it.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's
just a bunch of boobs bouncing around.
Wait, when it gets all like weird and dungeony and creepy and...
I mean, it's obviously more than that, but that's all I'm seeing right now.
So. Yeah, very, very awkward. Anyway, if you're into weird stuff and, you know, odd...
And boobs?
Dick and sex metaphors, then go check out Fish On by Lindman.
I didn't include it in the metal news this week, but it's worth noting that Rammstein is also back working on new music.
Awesome. That's very cool.
So that's going to happen sometime in the future.
You know, I remember when we went to go see him at the Tacoma Dome. I can't remember
who
it was.
So much fire.
One of us, somebody made the comment, and it's just like, they're German. They're always working out. Everyone's jacked in that band because they're just like, German people just can't stop working out. Dude. And Rammstein came on stage, and their keyboard player was on the treadmill. And freaking gym rat just goes, he's like, see?
He's working out while he's on stage.
He can't even stop to do a show.
Dude, the exploding writing that they had that was just blowing up. And it had all that foam coming out of it, and he was riding it. That was awesome. Rammstein, not my cup of tea musically that much. Like, they're cool. I can stand
it. But, dude,
you
got to go see
them. But their live show, f***ing weird, perverted, hilarious, awesome, and just real dynamic.
Lots of exercise.
Don't tell your kids. So, speaking of German music, Rage is coming back. They're reborn after they had some drama. Which
love
happens to many,
that band.
Many bands. So it says that they're going to be working on their first new album since 2012. And it's a four-tracker. So who knows how long they're actually going to be. But they're on the way back. They're going to be doing a whole bunch of European tours. So Rage is back. Hooray!
I'm into it. Ghost, obviously, very, very well known these days. They just put out a new record. They're going to be coming to town on October 20th, the same day as Gwar. And they're also well known for their face paint and for their image of not showing who they truly are. But Prong guitarist Tommy Victor has tweeted a photo that included Glenn Danzig, Phil Anselmo, Sean from White Zombie, and what appears to be Ghost frontman Papa Emeritus III, Papa Emeritus, the vocalist and leader of Ghost, the guy who actually, you know, wears the Pope outfit. It was believed in the past that it's Swedish musician Tobias Forge of Magna Carta Cartel, Repugnant, and Subvision, and yeah, without
so
his makeup, dude.
It's out! It's out.
That's crazy that that he allowed that to get out there.
You know, when they were doing the acoustic...
Maybe he didn't allow it to get out there.
When they were doing the acoustic thing down at...
At Silver Platters.
At Silver Platters, yeah. I went to the bar next door to use the bathroom, and there were two Scandinavian guys with the same kind of haircut as the Faceless Ghouls standing there, drinking a beer, talking in not entirely
sure. And you were like, hey! I know you guys.
Well, I was really tempted to kind of just like snap a picture and be like, "Hey, is this the guy from?" But you don't want to be that. I wouldn't want to be that guy.
Like walk up and be like, "Hey, I'm a journalist."
Click, click. Like I feel like that's kind of an asshole thing to do. Now, I Tommy Victor from Prong, obviously not an asshole, just having a good time.
Well, dude, it's a selfie with
partying.
A bunch of metal all stars.
Yeah,
and then you're wondering. Oh, why is this guy who looks exactly like Papa Emeritus just chilling in the middle of all these heavy metal all-stars?
Yeah. So Blabbermouth posted this article, and my favorite is the first response from Jimmy. He says, "F*** all you ignorant Blabbermouth f***s for not putting a warning before posting this shit, you a*****s. Maybe not everyone wanted to see. I didn't, and f*** anybody wants to say otherwise. Live your lives as you wish. Stay the f*** out of mine." All in caps.
I like that.
Spoiler
Calm
alert.
Down.
Speaking truth.
Damn, dude.
Jimmy.
Spoiler alert, I guess. But Jimmy, man.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, we should have said something.
Jeez,
Jimmy's
Jimmy.
Gonna be fucking pissed, man.
Jimmy's fucking pissed. I wonder if Jimmy listens to the Metal Shop podcast. I feel like it would really boil his blood.
Hey, man, I had respect for you before you didn't give me a fucking spoiler alert.
I feel like Jimmy needs to smoke a damn J, man.
Maybe he
chill
did.
The hell out.
Maybe he's on that PCP.
He's the kind of guy that would be like, you can't tell me what happens at the end of Lost. Spoiler alert. It's like, dude, it was like 10 years ago.
I remember on the Northwest hardcore board, I posted a picture of the Cloverfield monster. And everyone was like, man, you should have said spoiler alert. I didn't want to know what it looked like. And I was like, hey, how about you grow the fuck up and stop worrying about
Calm
it?
Calm down.
All right. Speaking of growing the fuck up and stop worrying about let's talk about Megadeth playing in China, because that's fucking awesome. And I don't care what you think about Megadeth or Dave Mustaine's politics. Any heavy metal band playing in China is fucking insane to me, because it's a communist nation. They repress the internet. They fucking cut wireless internet off from people all the time, and they let Megadeth in, but they did totally cut their set short, and they required them to submit their set list.
That's wild.
To the government. Before they played, and some of the songs they played, they had to play instrumentally because the lyrics were too controversial.
Huh.
So they played China, kind of.
I would actually be really down to hear some instrumental Megadeth. Like, that'd be kind of...
Like, they played Skin of My Teeth instrumentally. They played Holy Wars and... Holy Wars and Angry Again just were omitted from the set list completely. So,
interesting.
There it is. So, according to the Wall Street Journal, authorities in China require entertainment companies to jump through hoops, submitting minute details of their show, including set lists. The process reflects the control held by China's censors, who try to prevent incidents like the one in 2008, where Icelandic singer Björk, that troublemaker, sang at a Shanghai concert about the ever politically sensitive issue of Tibetan freedom. How dare she?
In more Megadeth news, the drummer Tony Loreno, ex Dimmu Borgir, Nile, and Angel Corpse, f***ing awesome, check them out
if
you have not already. He made his live debut in Beijing, China, playing with Megadeth. Obviously, if you followed the podcast, you know that Chris Adler of Lamb of God played on the newest Megadeth record about to come out. But, you know, he's busy with Lamb of God, so he can't tour all around the world with them. So now they got Tony Loreno, who was drum teching for him, and now he's got the full gig. So that's awesome for him. And
The road crew.
Yeah, absolutely. That's more power to him. And maybe he can actually stay in Megadeth for a few years before he gets kicked out.
Yeah, what's up with this Megadeth Live in Beijing poster with Chris Adler on it?
Did he play with him? I think he might have.
Not at that show.
No, not at that show.
No.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's the image they're going for, but like Kevin said, the reality is they're going to need a drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chris Adler's pretty busy most of the time,
well,
I'm assuming.
Well, from this article, it sounds like this other drummer's pretty effing busy, too. It looks like he was the drum tech for Chris Adler, which makes sense. And
and he played in Nile, and he was in Dimmu Borgir before that, and he played in a bunch of other bands.
And so he's basically saying, he said to Dave Mustaine, "I'm busy as right now for the next 12 to 18 months with Lamb of God, and I will do everything I can to play as many shows with you as I possibly can. But there may be a point where I may have to ask you to wait." And he said, "I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you.
I'll wait for you, Chris.
I'll wait for you.
I love you, Chris."
So I think he enjoyed working with me. And we'll just kind of see where it goes. And that's from Tony Loreno, the tech, not from Chris Adler. So I'm assuming if the paycheck's big enough. I mean, I'm assuming playing with Megadeth, you're going to get paid a lot more.
I'm
than
glad you're mentioning that, because I wanted to conclude this triumvirate of Megadeth news with the fact that Megadeth's Dave Mustaine is selling his San Diego home for $5.375 million.
Jesus.
Whoa.
So I would love to
mega
live in San
house.
Diego.
The next time you feel bad,
like $5 million.
Anytime Dave Mustaine gets on and says anything about anything, just be like, "Hey, you just sold your f***ing house for $5 million. You are totally fine, and you have nothing to worry about." But here's what he said. You know what the saying, happy wife, happy life. My wife and daughter are very, very happy living in Nashville, where he's been since 2014, and he wants to sell his California home. So, being in the Big Four, got that Big Four money, dude.
That would be awesome to
Richard
live in San Diego,
money.
Man. San Diego would be fun to live in. I wouldn't really want to fucking live in LA, but San Diego's got the beaches. You can be right there next to Mexico to go get your fucking your craziness on down in Tijuana.
So here's the thing about this house. It's only 5,000 square feet, which is not that big for like a mansion per se, especially for $5 million. It's got a media room and a den, so probably like a movie room, a bar, an office, a gym, 5 bedrooms, 5 full bathrooms, but it's got a state-of-the-art sound and recording studio.
Awesome.
A control room, a reception room, and a producer's boarding room.
Cool.
So it's basically like a recording
studio.
Wet dream.
Yeah.
So you could be like, "Hey, you can stay in the beach house if you want."
Here's the deal with Dave Mustaine's house, though, okay? He's gonna wipe his nuts on every part of the house before he leaves. Just like on Step Brothers.
Mega cheese.
"You don't touch my drum set!"
Gross. Okay. Moving on from Megadeth news.
So DR Strings have been putting out Dimebag themed strings for a while.
Sure.
Travis, I know you play guitar. I used to get the Dime strings and the Zach Wilds also. I guess it was Dime, though, all the entire time. And they're because they're real low and like heavy. So, but they're putting out a new series of Dean guitars, which was Dimebag's, you know, later model guitars, featuring high voltage DR strings. I mean, so how long are they going to be using Dime's name on
just
new stuff?
It.
Like, it's like Dime didn't play on any of this stuff. Who's in charge of this?
He never gave his seal of approval. That could be Rita.
It was holographic dime.
That'd be a good thing to look up. Who's in charge of Dimebag's estate right now?
Rita.
Is she in charge of those business decisions like that?
I believe so. She sells his t-shirts and Vinny, probably, his too. Dimebag hardware, like his merchandise and stuff like that. They official Dimebag merchandise and all that stuff. All the money goes toward Rita and the Dimebag estate.
I mean, DR, they put out great strings. I like the DR high voltage strings. And if they're going to be going on the Dimebag signature guitars, makes sense to me.
Well, to answer your question that you had earlier, how long are they going to keep associating? As long as they can, as long as people still buy them. And if he, yeah, like,
that's a good point.
With like the ML Dean guitars and like the ones that later on that Dime helped design before his death.
Right,
that's one thing. But yeah, they've been manufacturing like new models and stuff. And you're right, Dime didn't play those. Dime had no hand in them. Yeah, so.
It's like being like, God told me that I needed to
write this book called the Bible.
But Dime told me I needed to write this riff.
But DR strings are good.
They are.
They're hand wound, though, which makes them temperamental. I mean, we could dive deep into that rabbit hole, but that's a whole other technological side of things.
String talk 101.
All right, Halloween costumes.
Better than
Halloween costumes.
No kidding. Halloween costumes. What are we doing? Kevin Halford?
Halford or Instant Clown Posse?
Damn it. I guess it's about time. I mean, you finally escaped the South End, Juggalo free. I guess it's okay.
I'll be a Juggalo for Halloween. That'd be fucking hilarious. Oh, I'll wear some fucking FUBU, oversized clothes, paint my face, and drink some Faygo. Whoop whoop, bitch.
God damn it.
It's still better than dressing as the
bitch.
Crow.
Sucking on some Juggalette's titties. I'm getting some Faygo out of that nipple.
I'm going to isolate that and use that as my ringtone whenever you call
me. Whoop whoop, bitch. Whoop whoop, bitch. Whoop whoop, bitch. That's Kevin calling me.
You know, for Halloween last year, I intentionally didn't leave my house. I woke up that day and I had like a weird Final Destination vibe about that day. I was like, man, if I go out tonight, something f***ed up is going to happen to me.
Believe it or not, this is Ian's explanation last year around the podcast. He said
that's what I'm saying. I didn't leave the house.
He said that for the last few years, he ended up getting drunk and banging random weirdos that he didn't like.
That's right.
Like, he was
thanks
like,
for that.
Remember though, like last episode,
it's true.
Last year, you were like, man, I made some bad decisions the last few years.
Right. And it's 100% correct. But that didn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about right now, you motherfucker.
Man, for me, Halloween is like the purge. Just lock the doors, close the windows,
stay inside. Load your AK-47.
Stuff is going
just
down.
Sit there in the dark with my cat.
I've had Halloween like that.
Do you give out candy?
I live in a new house where I haven't experienced that yet. But if I lived on Capitol Hill, if anybody comes knocking on my fucking door, I'm going to be answering it with a baseball bat.
Seriously,
you don't need a Snickers bar from me, motherfucker.
There's not kids in Capitol Hill. There's just like hipsters and homeless people. Families don't live on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. What about you guys, Kevin and Travis? You going to give away candy? Help the kids out?
There's not really kids around our neighborhood either, probably.
Travis is like, I killed the
kids.
We
live in apartments.
Trick-or-treaters never show up to my place. No.
This is where the dead kids end up.
No matter where I've ever lived, even when I was in high school living with my parents, I think we got two trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, same here.
What do you want? Trick-or-treat?
Your parents live kind of deep, so
yeah.
Like out in
is
the
that
Bellevue
still a
area,
thing?
So.
Do people still trick-or-treat, right?
I certainly hope so. Yeah,
you know how I do it is I do the same thing every year. I put a big bowl out on the door, empty bowl, with a sign that just says, please take one. And then everybody just assumes some asshole
cheap
kid
ass.
Came
someone came up and
the
stole them all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't look like an ass. The rest of the neighborhood. The rest of the neighborhood starts wondering who's got the ass kid, so it causes a little bit of
kids,
unrest that
if
I don't
there's
have
any
to deal
kids
with.
Listening to this podcast. So kids, if you're in the Auburn area, kids who listen to Metal Shop Backstage Pass on your iPhone. Kids,
don't tell your mom.
If you're in the Auburn area, find where Sir Mix-a-Lot lives because he used to give out the fucking best candy. Go to Sir Mix-a-Lot's
really?
fucking mansion. This guy gave away the biggest honking king size candy bars. You could take as many as you wanted. Sir Mix-a-Lot was a badass. You always make sure you go to his house when you live in the
South. Yeah, you go to the rich people's castles. Yeah, you like get transplanted into the rich neighborhoods, walk through, like just around Christmas time, you drive through the rich people's neighborhoods because they're all
to
pretty
look at the lights,
and light. Yeah. Be like, and hey, let me get that king size.
Mom, can we move here?
No.
You know, I'm glad to hear
Back
Sir
to the trailer park.
I'm glad Sir Mix-a-Lot gave away the big candy bars. I like to hear about, he always seemed like a chill dude, you know?
Baby he likes back. Big butts and candy bars.
Oh my God.
Well, that's how the butts get big.
Exactly.
He figured
He's
it out.
He's just trying to train little girls to have large butts.
This is a f***ed up conspiracy you guys are entering right now. I don't even want to explore that
He's
avenue.
Training
you
him
could
young.
Have just said he likes big bars and he cannot lie.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you, Travis.
Yeah.
That's why we have you here.
You see, nothing perverted.
I like big bars and I cannot lie.
You can't deny.
All right.
All right.
We're too white for that. Opeth's Michael Ackerfeld. He said that he doesn't have it in him anymore to write super aggressive music.
Well, duh.
I just don't have it in me anymore.
Bummer.
So he said it's not likely he will ever write music again that will call for the type of harsh vocals that characterize the band's early efforts.
Sounds
like,
about right.
Play the old stuff. No. How about no?
My favorite was when someone sent a tweet out to Michael Ackerfeld that said, "I want Opeth back with the old songs," and he just tweeted back, "I want my dad back before he died."
Jesus, that's like a fundamental burn. Like that's like a soul burn.
It was like retweeted like 80,000 times.
God damn, that hurts me. That wasn't even involved.
My favorite one was somebody was holding up a sign at some European festival that said, "Yo, Michael, I f***ed on acid to your first album."
Nice.
And Michael Ackerfeld, after a song, pointed at him and just went, "Son, I don't know what the hell you got into, but I hope you had a damn good time."
That's awesome.
So, they're saying that they're going to be recording a record in 2016 that will be coming out in 2017. So there is new Opeth on the way, but it's a different animal now. Just is. Something you got to respect, otherwise, f*** off.
Burton C. Bell from Fear Factory is the latest to say Pandora and Spotify are getting away with murder.
Murder.
He says that for not paying songwriters a fair royalty rate because of the constant decrees that govern how the vast majority of American songwriters are compensated for their work. I don't know, man. I think he's getting away with murder, pretending like he can sing that way in the studio and then doing it live, and it sounds like shit.
Like, here's a new record. Oh, it's the same record? Okay. Sorry.
No, I'm just giving him money. Last time I saw Fear Factory and he started doing the singing parts, I saw like 10 people around me just looking at each other,
like,
cringing, going,
"Whoa. Turn him down.
It was just such a contrast.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
his lower his vocals album. Were still okay.
Yeah.
But then he'd do that. Like, what are you doing?
People's heads
changing
were like exploding.
My world so I can live. Jesus Christ, man.
You know, you'd think he would have tried talking to Dino. It's like, Dino, look, you think you could tune even lower? So
power
it's like more
shift.
In reach with my, like, you know? Okay.
Nope.
Anyways.
It's like, fuck you, Burton.
We totally changed that news story. Anyways.
Okay. He is right, though. He is right in the fact that Spotify and Pandora aren't paying anyone anywhere near the amount of money that they're making off their advertising.
That's true.
At all. And the fucked up part is that they're dictating the course of the future of the music industry, and they're indicating that... Yeah, you're just not going to get any money from
the musicians will continue to get effed.
All right, let's take a little poll here. Who in this room has a paid for Spotify account? I have a $10 a month Spotify account. Do you, Ryan?
That's a hard no.
No? Ian, do you?
I have a free account,
okay.
But I only use it for certain things.
Okay, so you hear the ads once in a while and stuff.
Yeah. I hear him.
I pay the monthly fee.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to hear ads when I'm sampling stuff.
I've been thinking about it. The only reason I haven't is because my mini iPad that I use, the amount of space that's available on it is so few that I can't save music to it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, okay.
I haven't even saved any music to my Spotify. I just search every time and I go through and I make playlists.
It makes it so that you can access it when you're not connected to the internet.
There you go.
For me, when I go out in the woods or go shooting or go camping or something like that, like I can access it aside from myself. The thing is, though, I grew up with Windows products which always had the availability. We could just put your MP3s on whatever you wanted and just carry them around with you. This whole thing is fundamentally different in the fact that you have access to everything that's been recorded.
But you don't own it.
Arguably.
Yeah.
And nobody's getting paid any way around except for Spotify or Pandora if you pay for it. So, I don't know how I feel about it, honestly.
I don't want anything to do with Spotify. I do use Pandora because, you know, I like to expose myself to new things. And
right, because it brings you something that would be recommended after the fact.
Exactly, Ryan has a paid subscription to Jay-Z's Tidal. That's service, right?
Nah, man. I use a...
man.
That's another hard no. I mostly just use Bandcamp if I'm listening to music. And, most of the albums on there are under $10. I mean, usually it's like $3 to $5 for a whole album of some rad band.
I have a cassette.
And usually there's a bunch of recommendations for other rad bands that they recommend. You know, so it's musicians recommending other musicians' stuff.
Also, there are a lot of bands on Bandcamp that don't go through Spotify.
Exactly. That too.
Here, let me read through the rest of this because I feel like this gives us a little perspective about some of the facts regarding these streaming services.
Is a facts, Jax.
Streaming is a very debated issue right now because companies like Pandora and Spotify are getting away with murder basically because they're going with a contract. They're going with a trademark agreement written in the 1940s to pay artists the least amount of royalty possible because in the 1940s there was no such thing as the internet and they never expected it. So because of that, they're using this copyright trademark law that was written to get away with paying the artists literally nothing. So for instance, an artist like Adele, obviously a multi-platinum artist, Grammy winning, etc., etc., one of her songs, Someone Like You, probably her most popular, had over 11 million listens on Pandora. The person who wrote that song, because of the royalty rate, only got paid $11,000 for over 11 million hits. Or listens on Pandora. And he says, that's f***ing ridiculous. And that's what they're getting away with. And Pandora is fighting to keep it that way.
Well.
And so the reality is, that's the trajectory of the way music listening is going. Because everyone in here just went, except for Ryan, I use it.
Mm-hmm.
Even for free every once in a while. Because that's the way it's going. I don't use my desktop computer at all anymore for anything except for printing things off of on my printer. And that's where my hard drive is.
Am I seriously the only one not using Spotify at this point?
Apparently. I mean, I use
in this room at
YouTube
least, yeah.
And all of the MP3s I already own.
Yeah, I mean,
from CDs that I have.
I mean, I'll go through YouTube, but 90% of my stuff's Bandcamp. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a dinosaur, man, but
using Bandcamp doesn't make you a dinosaur. That fucking company is like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, I
Ryan, you're a dinosaur.
Apparently.
I still have hundreds of CDs. I guess that makes me.
Travis is the real dinosaur, apparently.
I have a cassette deck in my car.
Oh, I just picked up
Kevin's
old boombox.
There we go. One-upmanship. So it's interesting, man, and I really, really hope that we find a way to compensate musicians because otherwise they won't f***ing exist. They just won't. The next generation won't have a place.
Well, that's true.
Just saying. Just saying, man.
And if I do like something, if I end up streaming it a lot, I always end up buying it. But that's just me.
And that's something we go back on. In fact, Ryan, have we gotten our catalepsy shirts yet?
2 days. I called and figured it out. Yeah. They were waiting to ship it out because I did the Gorod pre-orders.
You got me one, right?
With the catalepsy shirts.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, no. I gave him $20, man.
Yeah, dude. So they're shipping out in 2 days.
Cool. So Phil Rudd, remember this dude? Yeah, so he got in trouble for, like, the meth thing and pleading guilty to charges of threatening to kill and drug possession.
And hiring somebody to kill somebody.
According to Radio New Zealand, Phil Rudd from AC/DC has paid out less than half of his required $120,000 in reparations.
That's all he owed?
Yeah. But he's paid out less than half of that, so I don't know.
He must have straight methed his money away. Because if you got that AC/DC... Oh, we were just talking about how Dave Mustaine is selling his house for $5 million.
That is nothing compared to AC/DC money.
That's what I'm saying, and they've been around for 40, 50 years.
They got that Walmart money.
So, I can't pay you $60,000 if I'm the drummer of AC/DC?
I feel like we got problems. I feel like that dude would have that in cash in his wallet at any given time if you're the drummer from AC flipping DC.
Well, dude, I feel like he's asking to just go to jail. I mean, they put him on house arrest so he could just hang out at his own house. And now he's just like, hey, how about I just don't pay you? F*** off. Like, what?
That's actually kind of rock and roll of it. It's like, yo, I don't even fucking care. Fuck you. Here's enough money that you'll maybe, like, stop calling and bugging me
every 5 minutes. I gave you half. We all know I got 5,000 times more than that. Fuck off.
Jesus.
Because I'm Australian and that's what we say.
So in this really fucked up news story, and this is not funny at all. That last news story, there was some humor in it. This is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, this whole thing is terrible.
Of black doom metalers Goat Lord, he reportedly killed a child, a mother, a 7-year-old son,
His neighbors,
before turning a gun on himself last Friday, October 2nd. They were identified as his neighbors, and he's a 47-year-old. He reportedly spray-painted "I love you, baby" on a garage door that was meant for her. They said that there has been disputes between the man and the woman. He had no criminal record, but his neighbor said that sold most of his possessions in the past few weeks and barricaded his house. Quote unquote, "The last 6 months, he kind of gave me a really eerie feeling," the neighbor said. "Like the way he acted, his demeanor. He would always be around children."
See, here's
this
the thing.
Totally,
like,
fucked up.
And, okay. So we're in a situation where here in America, we have a gun problem, right? And I'm not trying to turn this in political, but we got people killing each other all the time, right? Because there's all kinds of weapons all over the place.
Yeah.
And when you're in a situation like this where you're like, hey, my neighbor's barricading himself in his house. He's obviously descending into some
being
kind of strange madness.
He's selling all of his stuff.
Right. Who do you turn to help you with that? Because he's still an American. He's got the freedom to do what he wants. Do you call the cops? Like, do you call
suspicious
a mental
activity.
Health? Like, what do you do? You know? So I think that's the problem, and that's the scary part, because this happens all over the place.
This just
happens to be on our radar, because he was in a metal band. And, you know, obviously it went for the worst possible scenario, but
how many times do you see, like, a shooting and people go, "Oh yeah, that guy was really
that guy was crazy.
Up and weird and creepy, and I totally assumed he would do something like this." It's like, then f***ing tell someone,
say something. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, I feel
it's
like
a big question mark.
I feel like the other side of the coin is, how many sketchy ass people do you know that, like, do weird shit all the effing time? I feel like that agency would be getting phone calls right and left from
people.
Well, they do. I'm sure they still do get complaints. Like, there's people that get swatted. Remember swatting?
Mm-hmm.
They call in, like a hostage situation on a celebrity's house, and the SWAT team kicks the door down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we care enough about that, why can't we get these people help, or, like, put a flag on it or something like that? And the thing that further bums me out is that this guy is obviously, like, a member of the metal community who is perpetuating that this guy's a scary metalhead who killed his fucking neighbors.
You know what's sick and disturbing is I saw people respond to this story with, "That's so fucking metal. That's so fucking brutal." You know, fuck that.
Yes.
That's bullshit, man.
Anyone who glorifies that or says anything positive about that, fuck you.
And we've said this before on Metal Shop, like, we talk about some pretty heinous shit, but, and it's all tongue-in-cheek.
It's like a horror movie. We don't mean
it
literally.
It's entertainment, dude. You're not supposed to rip entrails from a virgin's c-. You're just fucking not supposed to do that. Obviously. Can you not do that, please? Can you just listen to some metal and headbang with your friends and have a beer and hang out?
I've had this argument a couple of times with... It's come up with people that are really into the, you know, core and things like that, bands like Amir and things like that, that glorify the being a lifestyle.
Intentionally saying heinous things.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it kind of making acting like an ass a cool thing. And, you know, that's the difference between bands like Cannibal Corpse and Dying Fetus and things like that. It's obvious entertainment.
Right.
And as soon as they
get off stage, it's
not like that.
Right.
And that's at the heart. That's my biggest problem with bands of that subgenre is there's no effort to say like, yo, this is obviously entertainment.
Right.
You should probably not be really disrespectful to
because
your girlfriend and your mom.
But
it
ruins their image if they don't.
If they don't play along with it, and hence super impressionable kids. I'm sounding like a parent right now.
No. I'm glad we're talking about this because this is something I've been meaning to talk about because we play some pretty heinous shit that I've just recently discovered, and it was right after we were talking about the 25th anniversary of Judas Priest being attacked by, you know, getting that lawsuit for those kids committing suicide by shooting themselves after listening to a cover song of a 70s fucking rock band, and we were like, hey, I can list off the top of my head a dozen heinous bands that are 10,000 times worse than that. You've got to be kidding me. And at this point, we have the internet, so it means they can exist in mass, and no one either notices, cares, or realizes that every fucking song is, I'm going to cut your head off and rape you, and it's like this over and over and over again. It's insane, and we got to just be on the lookout for it, is all I'm saying, because some people take... seriously, and it's not to be taken seriously.
Metal Shop is
separate. You got to separate yourself.
Chris Barnes said it on air. He blatantly, just not even a month or so ago, when he was up here, and he was like, this is entertainment. I just hang out at home and smoke some weed, and I like watching horror movies.
Chris Barnes,
girlfriend.
A vegetarian. Nicest guy I know, probably.
Super chill.
Very politically active and aware and just kind of like, it's a separation, man. It's an act of entertainment.
But my point is, you have one of the guys that created the whole brutal death metal thing on air, just being a normal person, acting like a normal person and saying... I don't want to misquote him, but there was something along the lines of just like, yeah, I just wanted to write something to match the music that was being created. I needed something on that level, and so I turned to horror.
Kids, and don't live the gimmick, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're talking about this, because we're in the middle of October. It's Halloween time.
Yeah.
We're all watching horror movies and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's a very normal thing. It's fun. It's awesome. Let's not ruin it. You know what I mean? And so if and or when you see a friend of yours or somebody kind of just taking it a little too seriously, or you realize somebody's maybe descending into some strange place, that's a real fucking thing, especially in America now.
Mm-hmm. You need to either help them out,
take it seriously,
tell them to get help, or just be like, yo, calm the fuck down.
Or just what I find is that more often than not, and we said this last week on the podcast, just acknowledge people. Be nice to people on a normal level. Because you just complimenting somebody on one thing could be that moment that walks them off the ledge that they were about to jump off of, or some suicidal, crazy, homicidal.
It takes no.
Just be nice to people.
It takes no effort out of somebody's day just to sling a little compliment or something, you know.
So that takes us into the next story.
Hey, don't look as fat today.
Oh, thanks, man. I didn't eat that Lunchable last night.
Kevin, your head is extra shiny today.
You're not as ugly today, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, you got less grays in your beard.
There you go.
It looks great.
I don't care what anybody says. Men? You guys are great.
Oh, thanks.
Your piss looks less infectious today. More talk.
All right. What I was going to go into is that there is a new trailer for a movie called The History of Metal and Horror, kind of just tying together everything we just mentioned. So I'm going to play it for you right now. It's going to be some of your horror's heaviest hitters, some of metal's heaviest hitters, Alice Cooper, Kirk Hammett, Corey Taylor, Twiggy Ramirez, John Five from
Chris Jericho,
Rob Zombie's band, Tom Savini, one of the horror masters, along with Sid Haig from Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses, et cetera, et cetera. So here you go.
First time seeing the Phantom on a screen or people change their looks. It was shocking to people.
The 80s was the splatter decade, and that's when I became Wizard of Gore, Dr. Gore, King of Gore.
It's hard to say about Leatherface. He's obviously an evil character, but he's more than that.
I don't think they had any idea how big Myers itself would be. That character has become pretty big.
It's human, it's not human, and then there's this little matter of having a whole bunch of nails banged into your head.
Zombies weren't very frightening until we made Night of the Living Dead.
Metal, if you look at it musically, it was basically born out of the blues. Black Sabbath, when they first started, was a band called Earth, and they were a blues band.
They made it into this beautiful, dark art that so many generations of artists have copied.
Horror films are like the perfect backdrop to like heavy metal and vice versa. You know, they just go together.
They just go hand in hand because all the lyrics are dark and sinister.
The music and the horror genre are defiant against society.
It's just about being extreme. Extreme gore, extreme being scared, extreme, it's just extreme. Horror fans and metal fans just are looking for that fix.
Deathly scared of sharks. My mom took me to see the original Jaws when I was really young, and it scarred me for life.
I was terrified of the dark. I always went to bed very young, right as dusk was falling. So I saw the shadows come in. I think that was one of the things that kind of terrified me in a lot of ways.
My greatest fear would be like trapped underneath something, or nobody would hear me, or be stuck in a crevice of the earth or something like that.
Don't be afraid of the dark. That scared the shit out of me.
The first time I saw Night of the Living Dead, I was so goddamn scared.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It just gets under my skin no matter how many times I see it.
The movie that affected me the most was Salem's Lot.
Iron Maiden, still one of my all-time favorite bands, with the best marketing idea ever of Eddie.
I always tell Alice Cooper, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't surely look like this.
The Misfits were another one. I always said they had like this doo-wop punk sound with the horror aesthetic, and it was like, that's perfect.
I was just getting kind of started with my puberty when the Dope Show music video came on television, you know. I wasn't ready for that yet.
We came to the convention business through the entertainment business. What we are selling and what we're buying is not stuff, it's memories.
There are people out there who love horror. I know there are people who love heavy metal, and I know there are people out there who love both. And basically, I'm reaching out to those people and saying, hey man, I'm into it too, and I got a lot of cool stuff. You can come over and check it out.
So there it is, man. The heavy metal and horror movie. Yeah, they want you
donate.
Hear that?
Donate.
They want you to donate because they still need $50,000 to get the movie completed. So it sounds like they did a lot of the interviews and some of the integration. But I'd be interested to see that metal and horror together. Makes sense to me. All right, at this point in our Metal Shop Backstage Pass podcast, we are going to enter the brutal poetry Too Hot for Radio Lounge. Who's doing this one tonight, Kevin or Kevin? Okay, great. He's going to be doing Visceral Eviscerations.
Such yes. A dumb name.
Visceral Eviscerations at the Epicurean Gynecologist. Kevin, take it away.
Pregnant women,
awaiting their child. Routine inspection turns into fell fright. Fresh arrivals get slashed first. A notorious doctor slakes his thirst. Oscus remains totally non. Lying astride, he amputates her shanks. Followed by fingers, arms, legs, and hands. With a hammer, the baby gets shattered. Reprobating Frigg until it's tattered. Excise his blue eyes out of the sockets to drench them in this bloody mess. Consume omphalic string of the newborn. Eructate shreds of ribald flesh. Venereal organs smirched with sabulous urine.
Smirched.
Ropey rectum. By secret, blotchy innards in between. Abreast with those two torsos, sated of this beefy meal. Finally slobbering her boony mamilla. Embalm the boob with fecal excretia. Groons cling on the gynecological chair. Stench of decay creates mortuary flare. After the room is cleaned up again, another woman awaits her bloodshed. But tables are turned now to an orgy in blood red. Elegant, she emasculates him. Genital dinner with knife and fork. Ketchup on the severed scrotums. Salacious scrunch his well-proportioned
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you, that's art. See? It's art. It's artistry.
It is beautiful. It
Don't
is
take
art.
It too f***ing seriously, man.
Embalm the boob.
All right, well, thanks for listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass this week. Final words from you guys this week before we're out.
I'll see you later, Tim.
Travis, it's good to have you again. I know, it's hard to follow that up. You're like, I don't know what
I'm supposed
to say.
Yeah, it's really...
Visceral evisceration.
Okay, this is my final word. If you're starting a band out there, please be more creative than just calling it visceral evisceration.
And no more no more verb the noun bands, man.
Visceral evisceration, god damn it.
We're cutting you off.
All right, we'll see you guys again next week. Thanks for listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey!
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.